Good morning. If you would like, you can go ahead and have your Bibles and be turning to Numbers chapter 13. We do have some visitors with us this morning, and I think it's noteworthy for you to know that I'm not the normal preaching guy. I'm allowed to preach the first Sunday of every month. And I appreciate that opportunity. I encourage you to follow along in Numbers 13. We're going to read that in just a moment. Before we get started, again, I want to just let you know how sometimes I do get long-winded. I talk a lot. I get that honest. If you knew my granddad, you knew I get that honest. But I have good news for you this morning, really good news. Most of y'all know that I teach school, and this year they cut our class times by 20 minutes. So instead of a 90-minute class, now I have to get everything in 70 minutes. So I figure that we're probably looking a little better here this morning. No, I'm not going to be going for 70 minutes. I am going to read a rather lengthy read this morning, though. And I know I'm going to do that because I know that reading from God's Word is good. And I know at least that part this morning of what I do will be accurate. I know that you'll be getting really good information. So if you're at Numbers 13, I'm going to read from just a minute. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. Just to kind of get us to where we are, if you look at the collapse of courage, we're going to talk about having courage. And they've been talking about being a servant. And sometimes a servant, you've got to have a lot of courage. Okay, you got to be ready to go. You got to be ready to follow and do what is right. And that's not always easy. At this point in Numbers 13, we know that these children of Israel had been in Egypt. They had cried out to the Lord and said, please get us out of here. He had delivered them to the point they got into the Red Sea. These children had seen God part the waters. They crossed over on dry land, and they saw the Egyptians that chased after them get swallowed up in the water and washed away. These children were taken across the land to Mount Sinai and given the commandments, given the law of what they were to do. And then we get to Numbers 13 and what they're told to do here by Moses. So, and there are some words in here, and I had to practice. I told Ben I had to read along, I had to practice, out loud. Well, practice sometimes works real good. So if I butcher a word and you want to correct me later, you tell me about a name, because some of these names are not the easiest names. Anyway, we're at Numbers 13, starting in verse 1. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I have given to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the commandment of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the people of Israel. And these were their names. From the tribe of Reuben, Shuma, the son of Zakkur. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, Ilgal, the son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Rephu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Zoda. From the tribe of Joseph, that is, the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi. From the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamaliel. From the tribe of Asher, Sothur, the son of Michael. From the tribe of Naphtali, Nehibah, the son of Vashti. From the tribe of Gad, Gael, the son of Micah. These are the names of the men who Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. I get the one name wrong, right? Joshua. I get through all that and get Joshua wrong. And if we don't pay attention to that last little verse, we're going to miss who Joshua is, right? Sometimes we don't pay attention to detail. We miss out on the little stuff. Reading on in verse 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up into the Negev and go up into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, and whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Be of good courage. Remember that. Be of good courage. And bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time of the season was the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob, near Lebo Hamath. And they went up into the Negev and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Sheshema, and Talmah, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now, if you're like me and you've read through this before, and you get to there, you've read through that and it didn't mean a lot to you. If you look up who the descendants of Anak were, it's really something. It's pretty impressive. These were, it mentioned several times in the Bible, these were large people. They were strong. It's mentioned who can defeat them, who can outlast them in battle. They were scary. And their names will come up again later on. So let's read on. Verse 23. And they came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch from a single cluster of grapes. And they carried it on a pole between two of them. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the valley of Eshcol, because of the cluster that the people of Israel cut down from there. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and are very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone up with him, the 12 we'd mentioned earlier, those hard names to mention, right, said, "We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land, though which we have gone out to spy it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." And we'll get on into chapter 14 in just a minute. Okay? The spies' report was not all good. And if you go through and read through it again, you're going to see where there's, at least in this reading of it so far, we have one particular man who says, "We can do this." And the other ones say, "We can't overcome them." Right? Sometimes things in life for us are difficult to be Christians, to be servants of God, to stand for what is right. It's not always the easy thing to do. And we get a lot of naysayers, a lot of things we're going to talk about in just a minute, that can stand for, get in our way of standing for what is true and for what is right. Let's see if Chris has taught me well. Yes. The reasons we fall. They forgot God's promise. You can go back to verse 1 of chapter 13. And what does it say? In the very first verse, "The Lord spake to Moses, saying, Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one of them." Send them out, right, which I am giving to the people. God says, "I'm giving this to the people." And then Moses chose the men. He sends them out, gives them, says, "This is what I need you to do. Come back and report." When he sends them out, he says, "Go and be of good courage. Have courage when you go out. Bring your report back." We know when they come back, the report from 10 of them is not good, right? They forgot God's promise. God said, "I will give," right? Jace taught me a lesson a long time ago. When I said, "I will do this," I have to do this. Because if I don't, I've let him down. So now it's, I might get that done. We might get to that. I'd make sure that my words are very precise. In God's word here, he's very precise. He says, "I will give this to the people." The people forgot that. We have to have courage. How often do we forget what God has promised us? That he will stand with us. That he will be with us when times are tough. When times are hard. When we're trying to stand for what is right. How often do we forget? They focused on their own resources. Okay? Look at 27 and 29. Starting in verse 27. And they told him, "We came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there." They saw these big cities. They didn't have a big city. They didn't have an army. They were scared. Scared to go in. Rightly so. Except for one thing, right? God said he would be with them. "I will deliver." He would get them through this. How did these people who had come out of Egypt the way they did with God, cross the sea with God, get through the wilderness, get to the mountain, get to the commandments, now get here and go, whoop? Because they focused on their own resources. "We don't have the cities. We don't have large men." Large men. We had the opportunity, just a little side note here, a few weeks ago, we were in Nashville. It was opening day for the Titans training camp, open to the public. And I knew football players in the Pro League were big guys. I knew they were. But until you stand next to these guys and you get to stand close to them on the sideline, you don't realize how large they are. For me, they were large. And then they had pads on and helmets and stuff like that. These guys are huge. I can imagine this is just pale in comparison to what these guys felt like. Because it goes on to mention they felt like grasshoppers. I didn't feel much like a grasshopper standing next to these guys, but I felt a little bit belittled. And one of the kids is a kid that I had come through school when I taught over here. You know, and now when I had him, I had his sister in band, and he'd come around to help out. He was about this tall. And now I'm like, "Hey, Avery, how you doing?" He's a big fella, right? Can't imagine going up against these people. And the only way they could have done it is knowing that God was with them. That's the only way. We have to be careful that we focus on regularly what God has given us, His Word, and know that it's where the power is. Not in me, not in what I can do standing up here, or what you can do talking to somebody else. It's the power's in the Word. We have to remember that. How often do we focus on our own resources? Okay? I can stand before you this morning, and I'm not ashamed to tell you this, maybe a little embarrassed, but not ashamed because band director buddy of mine, we talked about this over the week because we've been talking about ACT scores. I could stand before you and say, "I'm not qualified to stand before people and speak because I made it 16 on my ACT. And then somebody says, "And you teach high school? And you teach classes? And your geometry and your algebra?" Yes, yes, yeah. My band director buddy made it 29. And when we go back and forth about who's smarter, right? I could tell you that by my own resources, I should not be able to do this. I have really good material right here. Okay? What you're reading along with me is really good, accurate material. And God says, if you use my word, there's power. We have to be able to stand with his word and have the courage to stand on his word and submit it when it needs to be talked about and be able to give it accurately, right? Those people, they focus on their own resources. They chose to listen to the doubters. It's real easy in the teaching world to get caught up in, "You can't teach that kid, he's unteachable. You know, you just can't. He's not reachable. You can't get to him, he's too hard, he's not smart enough." Folks, I have learned, and I teach special ed for most of y'all that don't know, I have learned that if you do not put a boundary in front of a kid, they will exceed far above what you want. They will exceed far above. But there's doubters out there that say, "This kid can't do that." They put him in a box. Right? These 10 men chose to put their abilities in a box and say, "We can't do this. We can't overcome them. God said, I will give them this land." That's what he said. "I will give it." And they said, no. How often do we, in standing, lose our courage because we listen to doubters? You can't teach that person the Bible. They won't listen to you. How often do we not say something to somebody because, they're not going to listen to me. Look at the way they're dressed. Okay? I'm doubting them now, right? How often do we? We have to stand with courage. And we have to believe that what we have is what God's given us. God had given them instructions. This is what you do. He told Moses, "You choose and send them out." Right? He told them, I will give you the land. And as we read on, if you study on further, and if you have studied in the past, you know that they're going to get into the land because they do listen eventually. It just is a learning experience in the process. Left got out on the decision process. These men, right? They left him out. So in verse 32, we read again. Caleb has already given his report. He quieted the people in verse 30. He said, let us go occupy it, for we will overcome it, right? In verse 32, so they brought to the people, Israel, a bad report of the land which they spied out, saying, the land which we have gone to spy out is a land of devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And they're going to mention the descendants of Anak, right? They didn't consider what God had told them back in verse 1. I will give you the land. And that's pretty simple, right? That's a simple thing. I will give you the land. How are you going to do it? It's God. We don't ask how. Right? We just trust on His word and move with it. How often do we, and y'all see that sentence showing up there, right? True teacher here, going back to the same thing over and over again. How often do we leave God out of our decision process? When we're trying to teach someone, work with someone, or improve our own studies so that we can be better, so that we can stand before people. Right? It takes courage to come up here. I appreciate Brother Tim's prayer and praying that what I bring to you would be useful and be good. And I was sitting there thinking, is what I have, is it good? Is it good? Is it going to be useful? He kind of got me there, which is good. I appreciate that. I need that, right? I need to have some amount of courage to get before you and stand and hopefully give you accurate information. And I don't think I said this at the beginning. But if I don't give you accurate information, you need to correct me. You need to follow along and read. So if I get wrong somewhere, as the algebra teacher that I teach with, this is my second year teach algebra, and occasionally she'll go over something I'm not real sharp on, and she'll just hand me the marker and say, here, you teach this. She knows what she's doing. And I'll get going on it. And she'll go, that's not right. And, you know, we have a whole teaching moment there where we teach kids it's okay to make a mistake. But she is real quick. She's going to stop me and make sure that I'm right on the mark. I'm accurate. Okay? Accuracy. How often do we leave God out of the decision process? We've got to go back to Him. He's got to be our standard to go, this is what's accurate. You guys have got to follow along with me. That's how I'm going to be up here and have courage, knowing you guys are following along with me, and if I make a mistake, somebody is going to point that out to me. How do I know that's going to happen? Because it has happened. Okay? Here, other places, people follow along. It may have been just a slip of my tongue. I didn't put a word where I needed to. It's not intentional, but there was something that needed to have been corrected, been talked about. That's good love, right? We can't leave God out of our decision process, as we see they did here. They allowed negative reports to overshadow. If you're in another world today, we have negative reports, right? They said these people are huge. They have fortified cities. We can't take it. How often do we let negative reports overshadow the positive? We can't do anything in this community. We cannot spread the word here because people won't listen. Really? Look at what these people went up against, and God said, I will give it. I will give it. Okay? Do not allow a negative report to overshadow God's word. Because the world will tell you anything. And if you're watching the news and paying attention, they'll tell you anything. We have to stay true to God's word. We have to stand for what's right. If we don't, we're in trouble. They forgot God's previous promise and work. These children of Israel had forgotten that they had cried out to God in Israel. He had led them out of Israel. There was 10 plagues. What? We go back and we read through that and we go, how do you forget that? Okay. And then we get to the crossing of the sea. And they cross the sea on dry land. And then the Egyptians behind them, they're chasing them, they get swallowed up. How do you forget that? They're in the wilderness going to Mount Sinai and God takes care of them there. How do you forget that? You go on to Mount Sinai, you get the commandments. It's easy for us to get caught up in the world, right? And forget what God has promised us. God has promised us He will not forsake us. He is there for us if we follow His word, right? If we follow His word. Have you ever lost your courage to obey the Lord? Now, see, I have to ask that question, and then as I do it in my classes, I have to answer it accurately. Because if I don't, then I'm not a good teacher. Have you lost your courage to obey the Lord? Yes, I have. Am I proud of that? No. Is it the ugly truth? Yes. And sometimes we have to face the ugly truth to heal and get better. Right? When facing a challenge, what are your first thoughts and reactions? I can tell you, honestly, right? If I'm going to ask a question, I need to answer it honestly. What are my first thoughts and reactions? Are not always, how is God going to help me through this? Sometimes it is, how am I going to get through this? Now I've changed my perspective on everything, right? How is God going to get me through this? Is a completely different thought process from how am I going to get through this? This world is filled of Satan's snares. And he is crafty. He is sharp. He is good at his job. And I can't overcome him. I can overcome him with God's help. I can overcome him with God's word. Okay? So if you're standing, I think, yeah, see? Told you that wouldn't be too long. That got me cut down on time. In just a minute, we're going to sing, Is Thy Heart Right with God? Okay? And I ask you to ask yourself some questions. Okay? Has your courage slipped at times? Mine has. Okay? Does reading Numbers 13, and I didn't get to Numbers 14, which includes Joshua's statement there where they can. You need to go back and read that and put that together down in the first part of Numbers chapter 14. Ask yourself those questions, you know. Are you looking to God? Are you reminding yourself of His promise? Are you reminding yourself of what He's told you? Are you forgetting the things He's done for you in the past? Are you letting the negative reports override your thought processes, what the world is telling you? Are you just leaving God out of your decision process? As a servant of God, every day we should go out in the world and live our lives as best we can to promote Christianity. Am I successful in that every day? I try to be, but I fail. If we fall, we are to help each other. That's why we meet. That's why we come together, is to encourage each other. Correct. So let's help each other. If you need something, if you need to be baptized, if you need to be added to God's word, God's body, I should say, now's a good time. We have a moment. We're going to sing the song that you can come up here. We can take care of that real quick. If you've done something that has made your courage slip and you need help, you need people to pray for you, you need people to help you, I promise you there are people here who will help you, who will pray for you. To see you along your way so that you can be a good Christian and be right with God. If you have either one of those, you can make it known as we stand and sing.